What people don't realize about us writers is that when we stick a new sheet of paper into the machine and type chapter 4 at the top of it, then at that moment, as far as we are concerned, that is the lot. Finished. Just like that, chapter 4. Well, not just like that. Not always, because I see I have actually typed chapter Frau. Damn it. When birds do sing, hey, ding, 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 sweet lovers love the spring. There, that's better. What have I typed the spring for? Sweet lovers love chapter four, I mean. There, that's better. That's good. As far as it goes, that's what I was going to say at the beginning. What my ego readers won't realize when they get this far is that when I got this far, it was as far as I'd got. They'd never believe it if you told them. When they see the long and glowing reviews, Who Killed Bruno Travers by Gerald C. Potter, Fast Moving, they'll just think that I sat down and knocked it up in a morning. Serve them right, actually, if they bought a copy and got to chapter 4 and it just said chapter 4, like this, followed by 200 blank pages. A very funny new bird they've got in the next door garden. Probably the lesser long-tailed squeaker, native of West Africa, come here to get away from the political troubles. I'll ask my wife about it, Miss Magnolia Badminton, well-known romantic novelist and bird fancier. Oh, yes, and I ought to say that she's a bit of an exception, by the way, when it comes to getting stuck at a page with nothing but chapter 4 on it. She doesn't get stuck at anything, writes like a machine gun. Chapter 4. Nigel Carruthers gave her the disarming grin that revealed teeth startlingly white against his tan. I suppose you know I'm most awfully in love with you, he murmured. New paragraph? Surely, thought Jennifer, he must hear the beating of her heart, exclamation mark, new paragraph. Mind you, she doesn't take the trouble with her typing. If she types chapter Frau instead of chapter 4, it stays chapter Frau. And Nigel, with 3 G's, as likely as not. Good morning. No, I haven't. You know damn well I don't keep any tins of smelly old whale meat out here in my author's typewriting chalet. Or rickety hut with non-latching door that any cat can open and walk in. International Monetary Fund?
It's me, you fool.
Ah, this is me in that case. I thought you might be the bank. Good morning, darling.
Is she out there with you?
Just walked in. Should I put her on?
No, just say I'm sorry I wasn't up. She can get into the house now and do it downstairs.
She better not.
What? Then she can do it upstairs as soon as I'm down.
Perhaps you didn't say that. Can you shout up a bit, darling? I've got birds do sing, hey, ding-a-ding-ding, out here. And they've got a funny new one next door. Listen, I'll open the window. No, he's gone now. Get off my typewriter. How many more times?
Look, she could start by cleaning the silver.
Yes, well, I've thrown her out of the window now.
Gerald?
No, it's gone now.
Then when she's done the silver, you'd better make her a cup of tea.
Very unusual call. Like rubbing a wet balloon. I think it was something exotic. What they call a rare visitor to our shores. An African long-tailed balloon.
Look, will you shut up and listen? My bath's getting cold. Anyway, it wasn't anything of the kind because I saw it from the bedroom.
You did? Oh, was it highly spectacular?
If you must know, it was the long-handled Sussex pruning shear. And next time Mr. Gable does his pantry, you can chuck an oil can over the hedge. Gerald?
Yes. I'm just hiding my disappointment. I was all set to send a postcard to the rare birds reporting
panel. Send her in, that's all. She's to do the downstairs, clean the silver, then you'd better make her a cup of coffee. And, oh, incidentally, darling, I keep on saying, when you go out there at the crack of dawn with Bruno, what's his name?
Bruno Travers.
Never mind. When you...
Sir Bruno Travers.
Oh, forget it. When you go out there early, particularly on Thursday...
KCB.
Oh, who cares?
Well, I do. It's all right for you. All your characters are people like the Marquis of West Wittering and Lady Mary Toilet. This is my first title corp since The Body in the Woolsack, which was only identified by its aristocratic elbows, you remember, when the inspector...
Look, I'm simply saying, don't lock the house when you go out, at least on a Thursday. Then if I'm not down early enough because I was up too late writing, she can get in.
What's the flap for?
Flap? I mean no flap, I'm simply...
The cat flap. Why can't she use the cat flap?
Oh, yes, darling. Very good idea. Mm-hmm. Bit premature, that's all. I mean, when Mrs. Gurney quits and we get a new daily woman who's very, very thin, I'll naturally leave a note asking her to crawl through a 10-inch hole in the back door. Meanwhile, will you send her in?
Right. She's on her way, actually. I've just seen her passing the window.
Oh, good.
She's carrying a stoat.
She's what?
Well, it might be a weasel. I can't quite... Ah, she's hung up. So what do I do? I hang up. Any playwright listening, kindly note that I do not jiggle the receiver rest, yelling hello, 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 and then look into the earpiece as if I expected to see an explanation pop out. When they hang up, they hang up. And any playwright who doesn't know a click and a dialing tone when he hears one deserves to have his instrument torn out by the roots. However, what I am wondering at the moment is what has got into Miss Badminton this morning. Aggressive she was, even before she realised that the cat wouldn't be cleaning the silver. If you ask me, she's got a bit of a guilt complex trying to get out. Forgotten to buy anything for lunch, perhaps. Dropped the kitchen radio in the washing machine. Might be anything. Got a couple of her characters to St. Margaret's Westminster and suddenly remembered they'd already got married on page 42. Well, I'll find out presently. At least I had the decency not to tell her that it's Wednesday today, not Thursday. Meanwhile, let's get on with chapter... What is it? That's right, chapter Frot. What? Damn. Oh, well, never mind, leave it. What would Magnolia Badminton do? Rush on, her misprints flying in the breeze. Thoughtfully. Comma. The inspector drew on his pipe. Yes, I suppose. Or shall we get the smart readers asking what he drew on it? No, 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 you worry too much. After all, if I'd said thoughtfully the inspector drew on his trousers, nobody's going to worry about that for a second. It was a summer's evening.
Old Gasper's work was done.
All right, said he, it's time for tea, and grabbed a buttered bun.
Look out, that's our last milk jug. Here.
They say you're a bit lucky with... Thank you, darling. With the radio, they actually found some music. These days, they mostly just talk about it.
Yeah, I know. This is my favourite bit coming up now. Listen.
Yes, I'm listening.
Oh, good.
So we now find an inversion of the melodic characteristics.
Oh, God.
While the opening triad rises to the sixth instead of the fifth degree.
Shut up.
This imbues with strong individuality
a profusion
of themes which are mostly concertante rather than symphonic.
Oh, get off.
Mozart's father, who was, of course, Kapellmeister to the Archbishop.
Just play the music.
Poor. And what do they mean, of course? He might have been head gardener to Beethoven's uncle.
What about Radio 4?
Ah, tried them. Second chance to hear a talk on the Indian thumb piano. How's Sir Bruno?
I beg your pardon?
I was just asking, how's Sir Bruno Travers, KCB?
How very nice of you to ask. I take it kindly.
Well, I just...
No, 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 really, I do, darling, I do. He's very well indeed, thanks. Well, I mean, he's dead, but if you mean how's the whole book coming along, I think I'll have another bun. I've just started chapter Frot. I mean, four. I'm sorry, did I hit you with a current?
It just struck me.
I'm so sorry, darling.
No, not that. I was just thinking that I don't perhaps show enough interest in your work sometimes.
But of course you do, darling.
No, I don't, darling.
Well, yes, you
no.
do. Nonsense.
No, when you got into that frightful tangle with the case of the missing cheese, I couldn't have been less helpful, and I ought to have been a little bit more interested.
There was something highly peculiar going on here. Aggressive in the morning, sweetly sympathetic in the afternoon. She was working round to a confession of some kind. The point was, what was it? The imagination takes off in all directions at a time like this.
Well, obviously, I'd left it in gear with the engine running, and when I looked round, it was just disappearing backwards over the cliff. I know I shouldn't have panicked, but there he was, a total stranger, dead behind the sofa. So I dragged him out in the night and buried him just by the rhubarb patch. I have been trying to tell you all day. I'm going away with Mr. Giebel next door, a lay preacher and squeaky pruner who's sworn undying devotion.
No, no, no.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. I can take it out.
Take what out?
I said, would you take the tea tray? It doesn't matter.
I will take it on one condition. Tell me all.
All?
If you want to.
Oh, I do want to.
Good. Naturally, you're not obliged to say anything unless you wish to do so. But anything that you do say will be... No, it won't. No, I didn't mean that.
Well, you remember last week?
Clearly.
When I was in the Isle of Man.
Right. Change at Liverpool for Ronaldsway, yes?
To address the Northern Ladies' Luncheon Club.
Yes, yes. And that's where it happened?
I think so.
You don't know?
Well, it could have been Victoria Station. It might have been Douglas.
Who's he?
Well, that's where the lunch was.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Or Heathrow. It could have happened there. But I've telephoned all round and nobody knows a thing.
Nobody but you?
No, I don't. That's just it. I feel terrible. I hoped you'd notice and I shouldn't have to speak first. All I know is that the morning after I got back, I found I hadn't got it.
Hadn't?
Hadn't. Still haven't. Look, it's gone.
And she held out her little hand over the cake crumbs. I looked at it. She was right. It had gone. No wedding ring. Nothing but a 15-year-old dent, and even that fading a bit. And I have to admit I made a bad mistake there. You know what these things mean to a woman. Especially a woman who keeps giving speeches in the Isle of Man entitled Romantic Novelists, Are They Necessary? Well, I ought to have been furious, knocked her about a bit and so forth, but I was so relieved to find it wasn't someone else, such as a stiff behind the sofa, to name but one, that I laughed gaily. Yes, I think that's the word, gaily. And I said, my goodness, darling, is that all? Don't give it another thought. We can nip into the jewellers first thing tomorrow morning and be married again by lunchtime. It didn't go well, believe me. I was patting the little hand when she snatched it away as if I'd been a hot toaster. Then she grabbed up the tea tray and went with a door bang that must have brought some plaster down 3 houses off. So here I am, out in my author's typewriting hut, first thing tomorrow morning. Let's just see what time it is by my electric wireless.
And at Shrewsbury, accredited Friesian cows in milk, £279. And credited and non-accredited cows at Ashford, £267. In Hertfordshire, cows in their second lactation.
Yes, about 6:20 when the cows come on. Well, how are we so far? The claims manager, Acme Insurance Company. Yes, damn. That's supposed to be Acme. Still only a rough draft. I shall have about 7 goes at this before it's right. Room 986, Acme House, Department H29, Roebuck Arcade, 68-71 Mary Queen of Scots Street, Merridew Road, Downham Market, near King's Lynn, Norfolk. NOR 85B. Yes, well, that altogether all right. Lovely addresses they have since the decentralisation of offices and the new simplified sorting codes. Used to be so boring when I just wrote Acme Insurance Croydon. Not that I've written to them anywhere very much. It mortifies the flesh of us literary men, having to write such stuff like, with reference to the comprehensive all-risks policy above mentioned, may I enlist your good offices in the matter of the recently incurred loss of property as below viz. It's all right for insurance men. It comes naturally to them. About 5 years back, when I claimed for having my grandfather's pocket watch nicked when I was asleep in a train, I see they wrote back saying that they were in receipt of my esteemed favour of the 29th Ultimo. They have typists who just slam that sort of stuff down by instinct, sorting their luncheon vouchers with the other hand. But if Miss Badminton, or Diana, as I often call her, wants me to write to the insurance company, I write to the insurance company. Even if it does take me from 5:30 until...
Is that it?
Yes. I thought you'd like to see it before it goes. After all, you were the one who... Well, I mean, it was your wedding ring.
Oh, quite.
Hmm.
Or wedding ring, as you call it.
Do I? Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Well, it's just, you know, I can quite easily...
Is that how you spell Heathrow, with a Q in the middle?
Well, I was getting a bit tired, darling, after doing the address.
Well, you certainly tell a full story, I'll say that. 2 pages. What do you mean, owing to my wife's absence in the Isle of Man, I have only just noticed? You didn't notice at all.
It's 9 o'clock.
Oh, shut up.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, not sorry, darling, not you, I mean him. Oh. Well, I could change that. I could say... Well, as it has only recently been called to my attention that my Wed's wifing ring, what are you looking at the back for?
Oh, well, you've got so much detail, I thought you might have thrown in a sketch map of London Airport.
Well, you have to make the story convincing.
So you don't think it's convincing?
Well, I do, of course, but it's just for them. They aren't married to you, darling, so they'll want to...
As some years have elapsed since I last made a claim on your good selves. What sort of language is that?
I thought you had better see it, in case you wanted to...
Unfortunately purloined while I was sleeping on the Brighton Line.
In case you wanted to add anything.
Well, there isn't a lot to add, is there? apart from a short history of the French Revolution.
Right.
Or a few hints on crocodile stuffing.
I'll send it then.
Oh, how about enclosing a picture of your grandfather, just to be on the safe side?
No, well, I quite understood. There's nothing more complex than a guilt complex. Besides, I was partly to blame for not having spotted that little empty finger. Not like me, really. I'm usually pretty observant in the ordinary way. If I'm to meet her in the supermarket, for instance, I always make a note of her trouser colour. I haven't forgotten giving her a friendly crack on the bottom that time when she was bending over for a grope in the frozen veg and it turned out to be Gladys Barker. Luckily. Well, I mean, at least I knew her, if not actually as well as that. But this whole wedding ring bit held up my murder investigations no end. Your real top-flight authors, of course, the sort that attract gossip writers to interview them in the Bahamas, where they just lie around on the beach rolling iced champagne bottles up and down the torso of some nearby redhead. Where was I? See what I mean? I've lost the thread even thinking. Still, at least the case of the missing wedding ring was more or less over. Get a nice letter tomorrow, I expect. Thank you for your esteemed favour, and here is a cheque for 40 quid. Then it's just a matter of nipping round at the jeweller's and making an honest woman of her again.
Morning, darling.
Morning, darling.
Yeah, morning, Cat. Anything in the post?
Yes.
Ah, good.
Gas bill, phone bill, and a letter from Lord Twissett.
From who?
I'm sorry, from who?
Lord Twissett.
Who's he?
Well, I thought you'd know that. He addresses you by the name Dear Mr. Potter.
Lord Twissett?
Yes, pass a coffee pot, will you, dear? He's on the breakfast table. He wants you to subscribe to a conservation fund for the European buffalo. Now, where does he get the name?
I suppose he's born with it. Oh, my name.
They buy lists, you know. Everybody in Sussex with a detached house and more than two suits. Bang, bang on the old addressing machine and your buffaloes never look back. Likewise, your alpine... What was it yesterday?
Alpine ibexes.
Ibexes.
Oh, look out, the milk's boiling.
Mind the...
What?
Never mind. You mean there's nothing from the insurance?
I mean there's nothing from the insurance. Right, you take the toast and the marmalade, will you, and I'll bring the... Darling, you're up early.
Yes, darling, good morning. I thought I'd get the grub this morning.
I suppose there's nothing in the post.
Oh, yes. Water rates, milk bill, very nice letter from an old lady.
Letter from who? The insurance company.
No. Just some marchioness. Says that £5 will mean years of happy retirement for a worn-out Middle East donkey.
Oh, poor old thing.
Oh, I don't know. She's probably rolling. But could you take the toast from the orange juice, darling? I'll bring the coffee.
The United States will give Spain $1,250 million worth of military and economic aid over the next 5 years.
Nice. Why weren't we born Spanish? Olé. And shut up. Dear garage bill. Butcher's bill. What's this? Final demand, electricity, £16. Refund, electricity, £16. Acme Insurance. Oh, enclosing...
Anything in the mail?
Mind the cat!
Sorry. Anything in the mail?
Yes, Acme Insurance. Enclosing...
Great! Terrific! Check for 40...
No, enclosing a claim form, thanking you for your esteemed favour, and as far as I can see from a cursory glance...
Curse them.
They want all the dope that you sent in the letter, but under 25 headings, except that your grandfather doesn't seem to come.
So that was another day gone, and not to be the last by any means. Meanwhile, total deadlock in the case of Sir Bruno Travers, deceased millionaire inventor of artificial snow. They take up a chapter of anybody's time, those claim forms. When did the loss occur? Don't know. Where? Don't know. Where was the article purchased? Don't know. When? Well, now, let me see. Subtract 15 from 1976. 5 from 6 is 2. It was on Monday that they responded to the claim form. Very prompt. Regretted that as no wedding ring was listed among specified valuables worth £25 or above, unable to see their way, assuring me of their best attention at all times. Yes, that's what I call a comprehensive policy. Lose your pyjamas, and if they aren't on the list, you'll be sleeping raw from now on. Well, now,
Although, I say it, I am no string puller. But there are times when you have to surrender your principles. And it just happened that I had a string at Acme Insurance. It was sitting there waiting to be pulled in the person of old Willie Wainwright, an old Air Force mate, now the occupant of one of Acme's more influential swivel chairs. In the ordinary way, I wouldn't have presumed, but when it came to the extraordinary way... Sounded a bit stuffy, did old Willie. Even when I reminded him how we rolled up the padre in the officer's mess carpet that Christmas and stood him in the corner until the bar opened. But he did say he'd see if there was anything that he could do. And he must have, because he did. They were on the phone on Tuesday. Not him, of course, just some underling, chief claims supervisor, something like that. But I could tell that he'd been got at from the top. And he had such a curious proposition that it just shows what a well-pulled string can do. It appeared, he said, by a strange coincidence, that when they paid out on my grandfather's watch a year or two back, that had been the specified item. But owing to some regrettable mistake, they hadn't removed it when they'd sent the lolly. So if, he said, I wouldn't mind regarding that watch as this wedding ring, then he thought they could see their way clear to regularize the position. Yes, indeed, I said. Regularize it, fine. When could I expect the cash? There was no rush, naturally, but if they could see their way... I shouldn't have said that bit about no rush. Wednesday's post, nothing. Thursday's, I had to go to London before it came. I did think of calling Diana from my agents, but I don't think he did well enough out of death on the ghost train to stand me a long-distance call without losing money. But Acme Insurance were right in the forefront of my thinking when I got back.
Hello. Darling? Diana? Miss Paddington?
Oh, it's you. Just a minute.
Who did you think it was? Evel Knievel?
Were there any letters?
Two. Ah. One from the Acme Insurance, cheque for £40.
Aha! Bingo! Good old Willie.
And one from Mrs. Gurney.
Oh, never mind her.
Well, I think you'd better. Mm-hmm. Read it. She left it when she went. I was at the hairdresser's.
Well, who cares? Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I mean, you look terrific. Yes. Like Maggie Thatcher out of the wind. I like the way...
Read it.
Anything you say, darling. Oh, yes, fascinating. Madam, we are out of floor polish.
Read the PTO bit.
The PTO bit. Found ring under fridge. What?
Yes, look. I suppose I must...
W. Wainwright, Esquire. Managing Director, Acme Insurance Company. Room 986, Acme House. Department H29, Roebuck Arcade, 68 to 71 Mary Queen of Scots Street, Merridew Road, down a market near Kingsland, Norfolk, NOR85B. Dear Sir Bruno, blast it! Yes, this is really going to take some writing. 2 days I'm allowing for this. Get out.
The small, intricate life of Gerald C. Potter featured Ian Carmichael, Charlotte Mitchell, James Thomason, Trader Faulkner, and Robin Brown. It was written by Basil Boothroyd, and the producer was Bobby J.